You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Okay, we're going to get into God's Word. I was really taken back this morning as I sat here and we started the worship set. I wasn't quite prepared for what I realized was happening as soon as Jack started to read the scriptures. And I did not say anything to anyone, no one in particular, the praise team, about what my scriptures, my text would be today. And it's exactly the same text as what Jack prayed from during Harp and Bowl. So it was quite a unique moment for me. Now, I shared that with the worship team thinking, oh, they're just going to be so excited. And they were pretty much like, well, that always happens with us. You know, there's just miracles and signs and wonders and, you know, all kind of, when you're in the spirit, you know, God moves. I was really kind of like, wow, look at this. God is doing something here. So I say that to say to you, I thank you for being a part of Harp and Bowl this morning. I know that we kind of brought you into that this morning, and some of you didn't even realize you were going to be doing that, but you stayed with it, and I think it's an important part of Life Church, and I think that more of us need to take part of the Monday night piece if you can. So there's a standing open invitation, not just from the team who leads Harp and Bowl, but from your pastors as well. We really value prayer, and I know that this prayer team on Monday nights prays for our pastors often, and they pray for this church all the time, and that is very, very important to me and very special to me. So I just want to encourage you in that as well. So with that, let's go back to that passage that they prayed out in the Harp and Bowl segment, and I want to just reread that to you this morning to get us started here. And it's about the armor of God. It's Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, and I'm going to read through verse 18 for you, okay? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The Word of the Lord. Amen. Have you ever played a sport, one that requires like daily practice just to be a part of the team? Maybe you've taken up a foreign language. Maybe you've tried a musical instrument and it demanded a lot of time and a lot of energy for you to be able to improve. A language you need to become fluent in, or an instrument you need to play proficiently, that sort of thing. Just like any skill that we want to master, our prayer life requires practice to develop it. You don't get good at prayer if you don't pray, all right? There's not a magical moment in your walk with God where suddenly pixie dust falls over you and you become this new person, this new creation called a prayer warrior or an intercessor. But it happens through time. It happens through circumstance. It happens through events in our lives that move us and push us and crunch us and press us, so that we begin to pray out of our deepest longings, our deepest beings, our deepest struggles, and even our deepest celebrations. All right? And so what I want today is I want to talk to you very much about personal prayer, but I want you to be able to better understand what prayer is. I want you to understand the purpose of prayer. I want you to understand the practice of prayer. a little bit, and I want you to understand the power of prayer, all right? So I'm going to try to get through those things today in this service, and I want to just kind of springboard off of this particular passage here that we have in Ephesians, where Paul really is giving us this tremendous metaphor of what it is to pray and to be a prayer, all right? Someone who is praying, someone who is interceding, in other words, speaking on the behalf of someone else. And oftentimes that is where our prayers go, okay? So I really want you to get a revelation today of what is the sort of like the reach and the influence or the breadth of your prayer. What your prayer can do, what your prayer can accomplish, all right? I don't want to stand up here today and spend the whole morning just telling you you should pray. Just pointing out that the Bible says you ought to pray, all right? Or that you should pray all the time when a lot of us are not praying hardly at all. So this isn't a place of trying to get you to feel failure. And please understand that as we talk about this today, there's a tremendous grace for all of us here because I understand how difficult and challenging personal prayer can be for God's people. And so I realize and understand that there's a lot that keeps us from praying when we even know in our own minds and hearts that we should be or need to be praying. And I think that's one of the greatest angst for all of us is that we feel like we should pray more, but it seems very difficult and challenging to develop that or to get to that place, all right? And so I want to talk to you today about this idea of God's. It is God's idea that we be people who pray. It is God's command, if you will, that we pray. And we're called into this. And prayer is the way that you and I partner with God in order that He can accomplish His will on the earth. And it is a relationship. It's a dialogue. It's a communication. And I want you to understand that it's not a communication that is just one way. It's not just you and I getting to talk to God, which I think is an amazing thing. That you and I have a relationship with this creator of heaven and earth, this mighty God. And we can go to Him, the Bible says, and we can come boldly into His presence and we can talk to Him. That is amazing. Way more amazing is that God will talk to us. That God speaks down, not in a condescending way, but from heaven itself, God speaks by His Spirit and by His Word to us, His people. See, God chose you. You didn't choose Him. You didn't just decide, well, I'm going to choose God and I'm going to talk to God. But God chose you and God talks to you. And He does that in unique ways. Some of them are very practical and some of them are very mystical. And I don't want to discount or diminish any way that we perceive that God speaks to us. But I want us to have a basis. I want us to have a baseline here of how we see and approach God in the spirit of prayer. And what I want more than anything is that we are actually praying. That we are actually going to God and we're having these times with God. All right? And I want you to understand that where you and I are is we are really in the middle of this battle, if you will. And it is a spiritual battle. And this is, I think, why Paul goes into this lengthy metaphor here and talks to us the way that he does. And that's what he's doing. He's giving us a wonderful metaphor, all right? And when we read this, we don't want to make a mistake of taking on a wrong mentality in how we approach this metaphor of Paul's here. This isn't a take-on, take-off kind of thing that's going on here. It isn't like Paul is saying, okay, when it gets tough, when it gets bad, when it gets hard, you go and put on your armor and then you go to battle. We live in this battle. Our lives are inside of this raging war that is going on around us. You are in the world, but not of the world. You do not belong to this earthly realm. You are aliens here. You have a home that is in a different place. And even though you live in a free country with a democratic government, you have a king whom you serve and whom you go to in prayer, who responds to you through that prayer. And so I want you today to understand that we're not playing soldiers. We are soldiers in the sense that God has called us into this battle with Him, all right? And it needs to be a way of life, all right? So this is not like a wish list that Paul gives us here in this passage. It's not a check-off list. It's not like, okay, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do that? No, this is a way to live our lives. So the way we look at this is we evaluate this as, am I in this kind of spirit? Am I in this kind of mindset and mode that I am ready, all right, that I am living this life way here of a soldier? In other words, do I wake up in this? Do I go to bed in this? Is this my life? Is this where I find myself? Because when he finishes all of this in here, and he's talking about all these different pieces, and we're not going to like parse out every piece today in this passage. Today, I'm just trying to get you to put yourself where you need to be, position yourself for prayer, and become a person of prayer. As we go along, we will talk more about how we do that and even a lot more of the practical side of that. But I want to get you started today, all right? I want you to get you to see where you are and to get you started in personal prayer in a way that is consistent, all right, and sustainable for you. And so it's not a place where it's up and down and hit and miss and you do it and you don't do it and you feel frustrated and those kinds of things, okay? So, because when he gets through this, he says at the end, he says, and here, now, pray in the Spirit. In other words, pray in alignment with the truth and with the Spirit of God and the will of the Father. Get in there and submit yourself and pray with the Lord. Come into agreement with the Lord. The problem with a lot of our prayers is we're constantly saying, God, come into my world and do what I want to do. God, jump on my wagon and ride with me. God, get in here with me and give me what I want or what I think I need, rather than saying, okay, God, in submission, I come into your will, into your plan, into your divine arena. I live in this place, your kingdom with you, and I give you lordship, and through the power of prayer, I walk out that lordship in my prayer life. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. I don't think God is as concerned about what you ask for or how you pray as much as he is your heart when you approach him. And that's the beginning place, is where is my heart? Where is my spirit as I am approaching God? And I honestly have the hunch that a lot of times that's what keeps us from approaching him. We don't feel worthy. We don't feel clean enough. We don't feel right. Or we don't feel like prayer is perfected in us or that we can pray right, whatever that is. But he's saying, I want you to pray. I want you to pray within the context of my kingdom and my will. I want you to pray, and I want you to do it wherever you are, whatever the occasion might be, whatever's going on. I want you to be in a spirit of prayer, and I want you praying all kinds of prayers and giving me all kinds of requests. But the key is that our hearts are right towards God, and we understand why we are coming to God. And then I think the other important thing is that the very last sentence in this passage, he says, with this in mind. In other words, as you understand that you're praying my will out of my kingdom, and as you're doing it in every circumstance and situation, and you're using whatever kind of prayer is available to you in the moment, and you're making all these requests to me, be alert. Be on it. In other words, understand what you're here for. Understand what you're doing. Understand what you're saying. Sometimes have you been in a prayer meeting and you listen to people pray and you just go, what is that? You know, I mean, sometimes I'm in a prayer meeting with someone and I feel really confused because I don't understand. I thank you, God, that you can sort that out and decipher that, because I certainly don't know what is being said here. And I'm not asking you to go into a prayer meeting and start judging people, but I mean, we come into agreement with one another, don't we? In prayer gatherings, like we talked about last Sunday, in the corporate setting, we come into agreement with one another. Whoever's praying needs to be articulate enough to bring people into that. And so we need to be able to do this together, if you will, all right? And so we want very much to be able to be alert and to know what we're praying, why we're praying it. We want to have specific outcomes in mind when we are praying. And he says, and as you are alert to all of this, you need to keep on praying for the saints. What is the purpose of prayer? It isn't always just for you to get what you want, but we are called to be influencers, and the sphere of influence can get quite large with God from time to time. But the purpose of prayer is that you and I approach God and we intercede, we pray, not only for ourselves, but on the behalf of others, in particular in this battle that we are in. We are praying for one another, and we are alert in that prayer and praying for all the saints. This is the impetus, if you will, all right? And I know I say this a lot, and it's not because I'm bragging, okay? That's not what I'm trying to do here. I just want to keep reminding you that I'm praying for you. All right? I want to keep reminding you that your pastors pray for you. And so our Tuesday morning prayer is out of this kind of directive here from the Scriptures, all right, is that we are praying for all of you. You say, well, I can't pray for everybody. No, you can't. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, all right? But the problem is the enemy comes in and overwhelms us with everything, the magnitude of what needs to be prayed for, and we get so overwhelmed with that we don't even start. We don't pray for anything. We don't pray. And I want us to be able to, like, move that curtain away, all right, and that we begin to have some kind of strategy, some kind of system whereby we are praying, all right, and understand that this, what we're talking about here when we say it's a battle that you're in, you are not in a battle of flesh and blood, all right, this isn't about you having to fight somebody in prayer, all right. Not at all. You are pulling down strongholds. I mean, what he talks about here, he says you don't wrestle in verse 12. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there are rulers out there. There are authorities out there. There are cosmic powers over this present darkness. You're praying against the spiritual forces of evil that are in heavenly places. And what that means is in this neighborhood, in this city, in your family, in your own heart, there are dark places. There are places where the enemy has a hookup. And the enemy is influencing. And the enemy is utilizing his power to have an effect. And it's a negative and adverse effect on the kingdom of God, which can be a negative and adverse effect on you. And if there's a negative and adverse effect on you, then there's a negative and adverse effect on Life Church. And if there's a negative and adverse effect on Life Church, we're not capable of doing everything that we could be or should be doing for God. So every time you or I fall into sin, we are having an impact. Pastor Dave has preached about this. Nathan has preached about this. Your actions are not your own. They are part of community. And what you do has an impact. Now you start to understand how that impact plays out. It plays out in the realm of darkness. And you and I, we may think that what we do doesn't have an impact on someone else. Well, wrong. It does. It has a huge impact, spiritually speaking. And so you and I need to be people of prayer, and we need to be coming against this kind of activity of the demonic realm so that we all are living more Christ-like day to day. So I think that this is a really good picture for us. Now, let me use an illustration. This is not my own. I heard this from a pastor. He may still be a teaching pastor at a large church on the West Coast. And some time ago, he preached or taught a message on prayer that really stuck with me. And this is one of the things that he used, and I think it's good for us. And so bear with me. And if it works for you, great. If you've got another system, that's okay too. But I want you to understand the strategy of prayer from God's perspective, okay? In 1983, the U.S. Navy built a ship. Now, that ship was a battleship. It was intended for war, all right? And please, I hope that this metaphor and my word picture here doesn't just throw you who are pacifists off today, okay? Please understand, I'm not advocating war, and I don't believe that in this passage Paul is advocating war by any means whatsoever. We're talking about a spiritual battle here. We're talking about a battle with darkness and the powers of darkness, okay? And so we're not talking about fighting with flesh and blood. Matter of fact, he says that. Your battle isn't with flesh and blood, all right? There are a lot of things that can be prevented if we will go to prayer, okay? But there was this battleship built in 1983, and it was called the Aegis Radar Defense System. A lot of people never heard of it. I'd never heard of it until he spoke of it. But this is an amazing battleship, all right? This particular ship, and actually, the Aegis Radar Defense System was built, and then a ship was built around it, all right, to house it and to move it, okay? And if I understand it right, this particular ship can track over 100 targets at any time, anywhere, and within a 115-mile radius of the ship, all right? So it runs within a fleet of ships, but it has this amazing capability. And not only that, not only can it track over 100 targets, it can actually launch an attack against all of those 100 targets simultaneously and continue that attack as long as it can, all right, as long as is necessary, all right? And I think there's a picture for us here as we are people who pray, because we have this uncanny notion that prayer is about us, and it really isn't. We're a part of our prayer. And we need to start. It's amazing. We go right into asking God for things, but we fail to start where we really need to, which is cleansing. You and I need to approach God with a clean heart and pure, or clean hands and a pure heart. That's the way we approach God. And so we need to do that continuously. All right. That's one reason we pray one for another and forgive each other of sins, so we can come to God and approach God in a pure heart. And that's the beginning place, all right? But then we have a responsibility to be those people who are alert. We understand the ways of the evil one, and we are looking at where we need to be targeting our prayers around us and in our sphere of influence. And this is why every one of you are on a list, all of you who are regular attenders and covenant members of Life Church who are here today, you're on a list that David and I pray for every Tuesday. We understand that you need prayer. And sometimes we'll ask you how you're doing. You say, I'm great. We still pray for you. Not that we don't believe you, but we understand the realm of darkness, okay? And so I'm glad you think you're okay, but you're vulnerable, and you're a target because you're a believer. And so we pray for you, all right? And so I think this is the kind of picture that I want you and I to get, is that you and I have a responsibility, all right? And listen, there's a huge difference between being in a war and being at war. And those of you who have been deployed, you understand what I'm talking about here, all right? And there's a difference, because the difference is that one is a refugee and one is a soldier. And both are in a war, so to speak, but the refugee is trying all the time to avoid it, to, if possible, escape it, all right? Doing everything that he or she can to stay out of the battle zone. They don't want to become a target of the enemy. So they're trying to get away from it. But the soldier is at war, all right? He or she, they're at it. They're in it. They're in it to win it. They understand that this is where I'm set. This is where I'm positioned. And this is where I need to be. And I'm going to do what I have to do everything I can to win this war. Now you begin to understand praying without ceasing. Praying continually. Constantly being alert, understanding that the enemy is on the prowl, always looking for whom he may devour. And when we begin to think in these ways, all right, then we have to ask ourselves, am I a refugee or am I a soldier? And the strategy of prayer, I believe, is that we understand that the enemy hates us and we are in the fight and we can't just run to try to keep the peace. We have to be in there. We have to be a part of this. And I think that that is the strategy of prayer that I would like to try to convince you to become a part of today, is that you understand that you have influence. You have the ability to pray on behalf of others. You have the ability to stand in the gap, if you will, all right? There's a place for you to live and breathe prayer that is effective. It has impact. It makes a difference, if you will, all right? So how do we sort of like break that down and bring that into where we are living today, okay? The first step, I think, is I would ask you this question. What is the aegis of your prayer life? In other words, where do you recognize targets out there? If I ask any of you parents, I'm going to tell you what you're going to tell me the first things are. My kids. Hopefully, if I ask a husband, he's going to say, well, number one is my wife. If I ask a wife, I hope they're going to say, number one is my husband. Folks, we are a body. Separate individual parts, but one. You and I cannot dismiss one another. And you and I cannot not pray for each other. When the Bible says, pray one for another, it's incongruent. It's disobedient. You and I need to be calling on the behalf of others as we are calling on God. We need to be praying that way. So what is your aegis of influence, if you will? That word, actually, if you look that word up, it actually means like a reach of authority or influence. It uses, the meaning uses words like protection, responsibility, advocacy, things like that, okay? So how do you need to pray for other people? And who are those other people that you need to pray for, all right? Now, your list may be family first. It may be friends second. It may be church, and then community. It may be work, school. It may be projects you're on with other people, those kinds of things. But what I want you to do is I want you to become very aware and very intentional about who you are praying for, all right? So that you have a unique short list and put it somewhere where it's always, like, almost always visible to you. Put it in a place where you are reminded to pray. Pray always. Pray on all occasions. Pray without ceasing. You say, that's impossible. I can't pray 100% of the time. No, but you and I, if we are willing to, can develop a spirit of prayer where we are capable to walk into that spirit, to step in the spirit of prayer immediately instead of having to figure it out or get our heart right or whatever. All right, we can live in the spirit of prayer whereby we can begin in a 5-minute segment, we can pray for 2 or 3 people, maybe 5 or 6 or 10. Or we can pray for an event or a situation. Or we can pray for the pastors. Or we can pray for the church. Or we can pray for our friend or our neighbor or whoever, okay? But you need some plan. You need it set in place. Who are you going to pray for? Take just a minute right now. Holy Spirit, speak to every person in this room. Give them 3 to 5 people right now in the name of Jesus that are on your heart, and you want them to be on their hearts. Just do that right now, Father. Let them walk away from here today with 3 to 5 names. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, God is able. I could stop right there. I mean, I just love that. God is able. But it expands. To do immeasurably. In other words, an amount that you cannot measure. More than all we ask. So God, no matter what I've asked, and as big as I've asked, God can do more. More than I can imagine. I have an unbelievable imagination. But God can do more. According to His power that is at work. And now here's the key. Within us. It isn't Him out there somewhere. Oh, God's doing something out there. Hallelujah. Blessed Lord. No. He can do more through you and through me. In us, within us, the power of God is at work. How does that work out of us? I believe predominantly through prayer. In the spirit of prayer and through the power of faith, we begin to pray, and we pray as the Bible describes. We pray those things that are not as though they already are. That's not foolish. That's not weird. That's not vain imagination. We are praying within the Spirit. We're praying inside the kingdom, but we are praying the will of the Father out that is beyond us. And so we begin to look with eyes of faith, and we begin to pray. Where are we going to land these prayers? I believe you land them in those places where you have influence, where you have authority, where you're called to protect, where you're given responsibility, where maybe you're called to be an advocate. And that needs to be daily in your life, ongoing, all the time. God is able. All right? And so I want you and I to begin to live believing that God actually invites the miraculous into our lives. That every one of you, when I come to you and I say, oh, wow, today God gave me a scripture and He gave Jack the same scripture and Harp and Bowl was so cool, that you're all going to go, yeah, well, that's okay, just like Nathan and Charity do with me, you know? It's like, I'm going to come to you and go, God did this, and you won't believe what God did in this person's life. And you go, oh, yeah, I will, because He does it in my life all the time. See, I think a miraculous life is a prayer life. I think our lives, if we are really, really praying the way God wants us to pray, I believe our lives will be marked by some form of miracle, miraculous event, occasion, thing. Now, when I say miraculous, I know we all go really big right away. We're just like, whoosh, we're out there, all right? God's going to raise someone from the dead. Not likely. I mean, I've prayed, and I believe that God can, and that he probably does. He hasn't done it in my life yet. So for me, that's not a likely thing. If God inspires me to pray for someone who has died, I'm going to jump on it and pray for them. But I'm just being honest with you. That's not a place for right now. I'm resting in a whole lot of faith. You know, I'm not hanging out at funeral homes. But if someone said, let's go pray for the dead, I would go pray for the dead. You want to pray for the sick? Let's pray for the sick. Let's bring them in and pray for them. I'm all for it. But what I'm saying to you is an honest confession. I'm not sure I'm there. I don't know that my level or my measure of faith is there to do that yet. But I want to be there. I want to get there. I want you to get there. I want us to get there. Where we are praying those kind of prayers and we're seeing miraculous things happen in our lives. I've got a list of miracles. And I believe they are absolutely fully miracles, but I believe they can happen. I want to be reconciled to my eldest son. Right now, that seems absolutely impossible. And it takes everything I have to muster up the faith to even want to pray that. But I want it. Deep down in my heart, I want it. In my flesh, I want it. But it's requiring something of me to pray that out. And even to know how and understand how to pray that out. And what the ramifications of praying that miracle out. And when that miracle happens, what happens? Are you following me? Those are big things, but that's where we need to be when we are praying. So you and I, we need some kind of list, if you will, that we are continually praying in the right direction. I got to hurry here. Okay. So write down your Aegis list from those things that we've talked about, all right? And there may be other things that comes to your mind besides what I've talked to you about, all right? Keep the list somewhere where it's visible and let it be a reminder to you that you need to be praying and you need to be praying for these things, okay? The practice of prayer. I think that this one is simple. It's just we just don't do it. I don't think we realize how easy it could be if we would just do it. And that's the key, is just doing it. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I love that because that's really simple. He doesn't say, all right, I just spent the day agonizing over you, dude. You're a mess, okay? No, he says, hey, everybody, this is what I do. I just don't stop doing it. I just make mention of you in my prayers. Can we say that? Is that a testimony? Is that a witness of us? All of you, hey, all of you in Life Church, I just can't stop doing it. I make mention of you in my prayers. Well, I can do that sort of because I do it on Tuesdays, and I'm disciplined to do that, all right? But are we disciplined to pray one for the other? Are we disciplined to keep doing that, all right? And I think that that's what it is. And so I'm gonna give you a suggestion that is very, like, not spiritual, all right? Schedule your prayers. I know I just told you to pray on all occasion and without ceasing, and there's a spontaneous kind of piece to that, but schedule some prayer time. It may be 5 minutes in the morning. It may be in the shower every day when you shower. It may be while you're eating your Wheaties or whatever. I mean, it may be a break at work. It may be whatever. It may be, if some of you are night owls, it may be in the evening for you. I can't pray in the evening because I'm not a night owl. All right? I have to pray early in the morning because I wake up early in the morning and I'm alert then and I'm ready to go. Those of you who are not owls, you have no understanding of what I'm talking about, all right? But I don't understand you either, all right? But God gave us both, you know, in the church so we can pray a whole lot more, all right? So that is the key here, is that you and I are praying, all right? We are praying all the time, if you will, okay? And so I think you and I need to schedule some prayer times in our lives, and we need to be disciplined to keep them. All right, this is going to be a time I give to God. I've said this to a couple of people who have come to me, and they've said, hey, I don't really have a prayer life. Like, I just don't really have a good prayer life, and I feel bad about it, and I'm a leader, and I'm this, and I'm that, and the other. And I say, okay, I want you to set up a time, and I want you to make that your prayer time every week. Okay, that's going to be your prayer time. Even if you don't pray, set it up for your prayer time. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a commitment to me, not to pray then. I want you to make a commitment to me that you're not going to do anything else during that time. And they're like, okay. And I go, seriously, I want you, I want you to text me when you start that prayer time. Even if you don't pray. I mean, if you want to sleep, sleep. You know, if you want to sit there, sit there. If you want to color, color. All right? Whatever you want to do. All right? But set that side of time. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me right now, and you and I are going to give that time to God. Now, God has all of your time, hopefully, as a sovereign God. But I want you to willfully give him that window of time. Maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 30 minutes, okay? Give him that time. Say, that's your time. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I'm not going to give it to anything else. It's yours. So even if you don't pray, the time belongs to God. And then I'm going to be praying during that time. And I'm going to be praying that while you're sitting there, God is going to speak to you. Because prayer is both ways. I hope you'll start talking to God. But if you don't, I'm going to pray for God to speak to you. So far, it's not ever failed. If you will set aside a time and you will give it to God, and you will meet God in that time, and you will make sure that time belongs to God, even if you're not praying, it's a holy, sacred moment of communication with God. And God will reveal himself in time to you. So set aside some time. Make it specific. Hold on to it. Be disciplined to it. Do whatever you need to do. Use available time as well. You have drive time. Maybe you drive in for something every week or every day, and there's 10 minutes, 15 minutes of just driving time, then let that be prayer time, all right? Do whatever you need to do, all right? I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So you take your Aegis list, and you set aside a specific time, and then you begin to pray about these things and about these individuals there, okay? All right, we got to quit, but power. What kind of prayer is the most effective prayer, according to Scripture? Well, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I think he's right. I don't think we need to argue with that, okay? I think we need to stay with that. The ESV says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So whatever words you're using here, your prayer, if you are righteous before God, is effective, it is powerful, it is working, it is doing the work of the kingdom. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be upright, observing God's law, living according to the word, being obedient. Describes a person whose way of thinking and feeling and acting is conforming to the will of God. And you say, well, I'm out then. No, you're not. Grace is there for you, okay? Start. You know, one of the best ways for you to change is to pray. And I've said this for years, and some of you have quoted me over the years, and I hear you quoting it to other people. Here's what I want you to pray this week in your own personal prayer life. God, show me my present level of deception. Where am I deceived? Where am I believing a lie? Where am I holding on to something that is ungodly or unrighteous or unholy? Where am I being sympathetic to a particular sin that I'm sort of dancing with? Get out of that. Get away from all of that, all right? Start to conform into the will of God, and you will begin to see your prayers become more and more and more effective. The word used in that passage for power means energized by the power of God. It's not your power. It's not what you do or don't do, all right? But when you pray, all right, your prayer is empowered by God's power. All right, God comes into that mix with you, and he empowers the prayer. All right, the effectiveness or the working there, that means a force. All right, but it's a particular kind of force that word implies, and that is a force that is capable of something extraordinary, like an extraordinary deed. All right. When you approach God and you're clean in your heart, you got good, clean hands and a pure heart, and you approach God in prayer, power comes into that prayer time. And as that prayer is empowered, all right, God begins to do something. All right. There is a work that starts to happen. There's a force that comes with that is capable of something extraordinary. And that's where I want you and I to land. All right. One last thing, and we're going to be done here, okay? A lot of you, you're really into spiritual warfare, and this is spiritual warfare right here, you know? But nowhere in here does he say anything about confronting the devil, all right? Now, I'm going to give you some wisdom here as your pastor, all right? Quit going after the devil. You really don't need to, all right? As a matter of fact, it's kind of dangerous to talk to him, all right? It's kind of dangerous to try to look at demons and sort them out and name them and call them out and rebuke them and all that kind of stuff. If God calls you to do that and you rise up in the authority of the word, then go after it, okay? But unless he does, I think there's a better plan. It's found in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says there, submit yourselves to who? To God, all right? And when you do, when you submit yourself to God, then God will draw near to you. We did a whole series on this. Draw near to God, God will draw near to you. What else does he say? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right? Resist the devil. In other words, don't have anything to do with him, and he'll go. Submit to God, and he'll come. Whoa! That's a marvelous concept, isn't it? All right? You don't need to be out there rebuking windshield wipers because they broke. You just need to exchange them. I'm sorry, but there's some foolishness in the house. Let's try to get away from the foolishness. Let's try to be discerning. Let's try to be wise, all right? And let's look at these things appropriately. The best advice you've been given is in James, all right? Resist the devil, he'll flee. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Let's do it, and then let's be people of prayer. Amen? Amen. We're done. All right, stand. Actually, you come up here with me. Come on, Jeannie. Jeannie is one of my great intercessors. Man, this woman prays, all right? Give them a quick gospel, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray over this body of believers, all right? I want you to just pray into their lives a spirit of prayer today, all right? Will you do that for me? Sure, she will do it, all right? Will you receive it as it's being prayed over you? Will you today receive it, all right? Let's do that together, and then we're done.
Thank you, Pastor. And Lord, we thank you that you do teach us how to pray, that you've equipped us. Your word right here today says you've equipped us with truth and peace and righteousness and more salvation, because you sent your Son, Jesus, the great advocate who stands for us and with us. And if you've not heard that beautiful word of how Jesus came for each one of us, walked among us, born of a virgin, walked among us to bring us to that place where we truly can stand face to face with God and ask for anything, and he will give it to us. But then not only that, walked the earth, showed us what it looks like to live that life of love. That's so hard for us to do sometimes. But then in that, went to the cross. He was beaten and crucified for us, for every one of us. And in that, was buried. And on the third day, rose again in glory to stand at the right hand of the Father for each one of us. And still to this day, advocates for us, petitions for us. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for that beautiful gift of your Son. I thank you, Father, that you right now, Holy Spirit, are washing over each one in this room, that you are equipping them even more, Lord God, to understand what it looks like to walk a life of prayer, that constant prayer that reaches out to everyone we love, to the person on the street, to the people that, Lord, we don't even know. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would stir within each of us that time and that place to pray. And Lord, even for those people in whom to pray. Sometimes, Lord, I know even in my own life, you make it uncomfortable. You're saying, reach out to that person and pray for them. And I have that, but you say, no, do it. So Lord, put that desire in each of us to reach out to our fellow man, whether we know them, whether we don't know them, whether it's family, whether it's friends, to just reach out and pray your will. And if we don't know how to pray, Lord God, when we ask, we thank you that you show us. You show us how to pray. Great and glorious prayers, the prayers of your heart, the prayers that you desire us to pray for the lost and the broken. So, Lord, we put our faith in you. We trust you, Lord God, for all things. And we thank you for this beautiful armor, O Lord, that each morning as we armor up, we prepare ourselves to step into the fullness of what you've called each of us to do. And we thank you for that, Father. And we just declare that you are the one true God. And we desire to be in obedience to you, faithfully following you, faithfully trusting you. Our hope and our faith is in you, O God, and in you alone. We thank you, Father. We thank you, precious Jesus, for your sacrifice. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you fill us and equip us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The rest of the prayer team is coming up. And if you need prayer today, please, please come and be prayed for. You can pray in your seat right where you are, or you are dismissed. Parents, please run and get your children.